We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to mix topics. We're going to go back to the Vikings right here because one of the key players for the Vikings at this stage and kind of is he ready or is he not? Because when he's ready, he's very good as Xavier Rhodes. Mike had a chance to catch up with the Vikings defensive back. Let's listen in.
Hard was it for you to watch last week?
It was pretty tough. Just be on the sideline, not be on the field with my team, not going out there just battling with those guys. You know, it was really hard for me.
Do you get anything out of that? Do you watch and try to pick up things? Is there anything you can get out of sitting?
Yeah, I mean, I have to. I have to sit there and look at the formations, the routes they run, the route concepts, you know, understand what certain coverage, when we're in certain coverage, how Drew was, what's the check out of it. You know, little things like that I was paying attention to. But at the same time, I had to look at the guy's technique, like holding technique, how to help him out with that, you know, trades. Had to be the vet, I understand, to help him with certain down the distance and tell him what to look out for, what not to look out for.
How are these young corners coming? Trades, obviously, you got some years in the league, but Holton Hill as well.
They played pretty well. You know, last year they played great. Jordan had really a big game of passing yards. I believe them guys played great.
Matthew Stafford presents what kind of problems?
Like always.
Yeah. You know. Smart veteran.
Yeah. Accurate. Obviously, everyone know he forced a little couple passes, but you know what's forcing what? Who won't? You know, every great quarterback will force some passes here and there. They believe they can fit it in there. They're going to definitely try to. So Stafford is one of those guys. You know, it's pretty accurate. You know, not afraid to run the ball. It's tough. It's nails. You know, he get his head in there if he have to get the team to win. Dive in the end zone if you have to. Take a few hits if you have to. You know, as a guy, you know, you have to know, like, he'll do anything necessary to help his team win.
And last, it's a big game because division game and it's a bye week right behind it. So you put a little bit into this one because, you know, you're going to be 2 weeks before you play again.
Oh, yeah. We just worry about this game right here, not worrying about the bye week. So just go out there and just play ball. And after that, look at the film, previous games, and just look forward to going next week after that.
All right, that was Xavier Rhodes. We'll take a break, come back. We're talking to Kirk Cousins, and then we're going to talk to impressive wild rookie Nick Seeler. All that followed by P.J. Fleck. I'm going to be busy next 20 minutes or so on the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. Well, any discussion of the Vikings, of course, circles around the new quarterback, Kirk Cousins, and I think he's made a great mark for himself so far. Big game against Detroit. Mike and I are both liking the Vikings in that game. Sid had a chance to catch up with Kirk Cousins. We'll listen in on that as well.
Okay, how do you feel about this season?
Well, there's been ups, there's been downs, as many NFL seasons go. But the good part is we have a lot of divisional games left to be played, and with half the season remaining, I think it's all ahead of us, and we can still accomplish what we set out to accomplish at the start of the year.
Look back to your decision to come here. Was that turn out to be a good decision?
I think time that has passed since we decided to become a Minnesota Viking in March, we feel very good about our decision, and we're excited about what the future holds here.
Talk about Diggs and Deep Thielen throwing to them. How good is that?
They're two of the best players on our team. They're a big reason why we've won four games. They're a big reason why we feel good about our chances in the second half of the season. And I'm fortunate to be playing with them and have them as teammates.
How do you set yourself up with those guys? You just throw a certain area? Is that what you do?
Well, every play is different. Every coverage dictates maybe a different response. But you try to build a rapport with those two and a chemistry to understand how they go about their business and be able to anticipate. And they have to create separation and get open and ultimately make plays.
Okay, you're setting a lot of team records in the last eight games for passing yards. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think this league is becoming a passing league, and it's giving quarterbacks a great opportunity to air it out and create a lot of production in the pass game. And the key for me is to continue to be explosive, but also make smart decisions and protect the football and not put us in harm's way as an offense and as a team. And that'll always be my challenge as I play and continue to try to be aggressive.
If you run the ball more, does that help you?
Well, when you're running the ball successfully, it takes a lot of pressure off the pass game. And when you're not running the ball successfully, then it can add pressure to the pass game. But sometimes the only way to know is to stick with it and stay patient with the run and keep running the football. But you hate to do that if it's going to lead to long yardage situations and obvious pass situations. So we have to be smart with our run selection, with our execution, and play design. But at the end of the day, you know, each game is going to call for a different approach, and we've got to be ready to react accordingly.
How different is this situation than Washington?
Well, being that we're in the same league, I think many times I feel it's similar. But, you know, you also do have to learn subtle differences in the offense and new teammates, and there are changes. But all in all, I do think the transition has gone well, and I'm excited about continuing to make this home.
Okay. The offensive line doing a pretty good job for you, aren't they?
I would say they've done a great job. You know, we've asked a lot of them with injuries, and we've shuffled players around, and yet we've continued to have production, and I think it speaks volumes of their effort and their ability to adapt as this season has thrown them some curveballs.
How about throwing to Rudolph? How was that?
Kyle's been a great player here for a long time. You know, he's got as natural of hands catching the football as anybody I've ever played with, and maybe as good as anybody in the NFL. Yeah, he's a very smart football player, and I've enjoyed playing with him.
You have a lot of division games coming up, so you're still in a good position.
I think so. With 8 games left, half the season left, and all the divisional games ahead of us, there's a lot of football left to be played, and we understand that. So we've put ourselves in a position to have something to play for here in the second half of the season, and I can't wait to get cracking at it.
How about the support you get from the fans at U.S. Bank?
It's an outstanding environment, best stadium in the NFL, and our fan base has been tremendous all year long, and I just want to make sure we're giving them something to cheer about.
How about your family? They like it here?
We're really enjoying it here, continuing to learn more about the community and the people, and we're excited to be here not only through this season, but then have another off season to get to know everyone, and we really do feel it's home.
So you're happy you made that decision?
Oh, without a doubt. There's been a great deal of affirmation since we made the decision that this was the right place for us and that we're in a great spot, and we just need to win, because if we win, I get to stay, and I want to stay. So that's the goal.
I got a big picture for you.
Great.
He's not trying to buy his interviews.
There's the big picture. all right, we're going to go break here, and then we'll turn the topic back to hockey as Nick Seeler, a very, very solid performance so far on defense for the Minnesota Wild. He'll join us live in about 2.5 minutes as you listen to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. We've got a guest standing by. We'll just take one text message before the text message, since we had those two Viking interviews. Text message, why is Dalvin Cook out so long? Will he ever be healthy? Will he ever play? According to the notes this morning, Dalvin Cook expected to play about 15 to 20 offensive plays in the game today. All right, Mike, another hockey guy.
Yeah, and what a night for Nick Seeler. 3 points last night, including his first NHL goal. He assisted on the same shift on Eric Staal's 400th goal. To give the Wild a 2-0 lead there in about 2 minutes. Nick, that was for an Eden Prairie native and a Minnesota Wild member. That's a pretty memorable night last night, wasn't it? And congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, that was really exciting. And, you know, I didn't know it was Staal's 400 until kind of halfway through the period. So it was pretty cool to be able to be a part of that and, you know, get my first as well. But, you know, it was just a great team win, though, in St. Louis.
We were just talking to Tom Curvers about you, and you've got the famous fight video from last year with Torsky, and it went viral real quick. What did that do for you in terms of your career? And not that you had to fight a lot since, but in terms of establishing yourself as being physical?
You know what? I think, yeah. I just, you know, last year coming up, you know, you do everything you can to stay up. And, you know, there was an opportunity to step up there. And, you know, obviously that fight happened and I was able to, you know, stick in the lineup and continue to work on my game and get better and better. So I'm just trying to continue to do that and trying to gain more confidence this year. So,
Nick, you got paired up with a newcomer on defense, Pattern. How is it getting to know somebody, starting to play with them? How long does it take till you're comfortable with each other?
Yeah, you know what? It's been a good transition playing with him, and I think we're just gaining confidence with each other. We know where we're at on the ice, and that cohesiveness on the ice is, I think, it's coming along really well. And, you know, last night I thought was one of our best games together. And, you know, so I think it comes along pretty quick. You know, especially nice when you're able to play with each other consistently night in and night out and try to gain that confidence with each other. So it's gone well so far.
You've got a young core there, Nick, that you're a part of, a lot of young players. You've got the old on one end. You've got everything there with the Minnesota Wild. Is energy a big part of what you bring as well? Because, you know, you always look to the young guys for kind of a fearless energy.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have a lot of guys kind of with that energy that we need night in and night out. And, you know, you saw it, our fourth line last night was our best line, I thought. And they brought a ton of energy, and you know, I think that's kind of how we are successful is we bring that, and all four lines and all 60 are contributing, and I think you saw that last night, so it was a great win.
What's the big difference? You guys got off to a bad start, and all of a sudden now you're going great. What's turning you around?
Yeah, I think we're starting to connect with each other well, and you know, last night Bruce was preaching, you know, let's just try to get off to a good start here. And obviously our first periods of the season haven't been the best, but thankfully we've been able to come back in some games. And but last night, yeah, I thought just right from the start, drop of the puck, we were in it and ready to go. So I think that's the key to our success this year.
Nick, obviously you took a different route to the NHL and you transferred schools and college and everything else, and you've had to hang with it, be persistent. What have you learned from all of that? And were there ever times when you said, boy, this is getting to be too much?
That's a great question. You know what? It's something I think when you have your mindset on something, it's a powerful thing. Obviously it was an unconventional path to get to the NHL, but you know, it was all worth it. All the hard work was worth it, and kind of perseverance through you know, different situations and all that. And so thankfully you know, I had a lot of support along the way, with whether it's coaches or family and or friends. So it's been quite a journey so far.
Yeah, there's some people that say hockey rewards players, that it always reward the guys that stick with it and work hard. That sport, it's kind of proven. You hear it all the time, because especially in hockey, a lot of guys that end up in the NHL grind it out to get there and stay there for a long time because they have that mindset going in.
Right, yeah. You know, I think that's a testament to people's work ethic and how they get to be in the NHL. And I think the most important thing now is just to continue to work and improve your game and learn as much as you can every day to try to stay up here.
If there's one person who will help you turn your hockey around, make a real good player, who would that be?
Oh, sorry, can you say that again?
Ask it again. Well, he asked if there's one person in your life that really helped get you to where you are, who would it be and how?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, there's a lot of people certainly that helped me get to the point I am today, where I am at today. But I would have to say my parents for sure. You know, just the sacrifices and all those early mornings and you know, trips going to hockey tournaments and everything like that. So they've definitely helped me get to where I am today, and always grateful for that.
Nick, what's it like playing for Boudreaux? We have him on the air from time to time, and he'll come up with some one-liners. You kind of look at yourself. Did he really say that? Did he mean that? Is he that like that before the game, during the game?
Yeah, you know what? He definitely has some good one-liners, but you know, he's I love playing for him. I think the guys love playing for him too. And you know, he's a fair coach. He's hard on us, but he's fair, and he you know, he respects guys you know, who work hard. And so, you know what, we really like playing for him. And yeah, he has some great one-liners. I can't think of any right now, but maybe he'll say one on the air in a few.
I've heard a few sitting over there with him, but he's pretty direct and to the point, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think guys respect that, and you know, that direct approach to it, and fairness, and understanding where he's coming from. And you know, so yeah, we really like that and feed off that.
How old were you when you first started skating and got going playing hockey?
You know what? I think I was 3 when I put on my first pair of skates. So I think just like any other kid in Minnesota, you try to get on the pond as quick as you can. So we had a little rink in our backyard, and so we'd flood the sport court in the backyard, and try to put some boards up, and you know, the neighbor kids would come over. So I think I was, yeah, right around 3 or 4, and you know, the rest is kind of history.
If you were 3, were you a little bit behind?
I mean, so
2-year-olds are.
Yeah, you know, it started a little late. So.
But your family's always been, and not just you, but siblings as well, that are committed to hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had my sister Kelly, who was a middle child. She played for the Gophers. And then my oldest sister, Ashley, she was a soccer player. So she never really got into hockey. But, yeah, definitely me and Kelly were battling outside in the backyard.
Well, Nick, appreciate it very much. Congratulations again. And Sid, you got something you want to give him.
Nick, sir, we appreciate you being on the show. And for being on the show, we'll get you a certificate to the best steakhouse in the country, Murray's on 6th Street. Thank you very much,
and
good luck to the
wife. Yeah, you can bring your parents to Murray's. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, good luck on there on the coast.
All right, that's
Nick Seeler. We'll be back with P.J. Fleck after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. Time to talk Gopher football, and Coach P.J. Fleck joins us right now. Sidney?
P.J., what's hard to figure out how well you played against Iowa. You almost beat Ohio State, but the poorer teams like Illinois, Maryland, and Nebraska, you don't play that well.
Well, we've been very inconsistent. You're 100% correct. You know, it's been a roller coaster year. We play well defensively one week. We don't play well defensively the other week, or vice versa. You know, on offense, I think it's somewhat understandable at times, just because there's, at times yesterday, there were 8 freshmen on that field, but I think we're getting better over there. And defensively, it's just been, there's been really good. You're right, but then there's been also been very bad. And yesterday was completely unacceptable. And there's plenty of blame to go around, but most of that blame starts with me, period. And so, you know, we review our mistakes, we correct them, and then we move on.
Home field advantage. Illinois didn't play very good against Maryland, but they get home, and all of a sudden, is a home field advantage that important?
Well, I don't know if you necessarily get into comparing teams. This team played this team played that team, this team beat that team, this team lost to that team. I mean, you'll drive yourself crazy if you do that for college football. One thing about college football that makes it really special is you never know what's going to happen. You just never know, home or away or anything like that. It's very hard to figure out exactly what's going to happen in college football. So, you know, we just got to keep getting better. We got to keep growing, and we will.
Your team has to improve their tackling, right?
We do. You know, too many missed tackles, way too many missed tackles, unacceptable in terms of the amount of missed tackles we had. And that's not just from the back end. That's from the second level and then the upfront part too. So we've got a lot to fix, but it will be fixed.
Turnovers didn't help you any yesterday either, right?
Well, we got some tackles, but yeah, we turned the ball over. And, you know, one thing, like I said before, you know, one thing we felt like coming into the year was we knew we'd be young, we knew we'd be inexperienced on the offensive side. But again, the ball is the program, and our team has figured out when we take care of the ball, we're pretty good. When we don't, we're not very good. It's very simple. That's part of that 78% we talk about. And we lost that again yesterday, and we lost the game. So we're 0-5 when we win the 78%, the 4 categories. We're 4-0 when we win them. And so, you know, we have to make sure that this team becomes more mature, and that happens. You know, you go back to even in my past, we had a team that turned the ball over to, you know, we were minus 18, I think, at the beginning of my coaching career, head coaching career at a certain place. And then got to a point where everybody understood that, and they were mature enough to handle that, knew exactly how to win football games, and they didn't turn the ball over till the seventh or eighth game, period. Didn't have one turnover until then. So we have to understand how important it is, not just know it, but do it. That's part of the maturation process that we're going through, and you know, we just need to be able to grow up faster.
PJ, take me through the film, though, because defensively you'd see these wide open holes, and they just, you know, obviously the big play yesterday. When you look at that, what do you see? Is that a wrong call? Is that personnel reacting poorly? What is that?
Same thing. It's a combination, right? We always talk about, you know, is it schematic? Is it coaching? Or is it personnel? And right now it's a combination of all of that. But whoever's in there has to be able to play that role. We're not at a point right now where if we can have one person out of their gap, for whatever particular reason they're out of their gap, we're not able to make it all right. There's some playmakers that you have at times that if something goes wrong, they can make it right. Rarely does a college football team play perfect where everybody's in the gap every single play. Everybody's exactly where they're supposed to be. Nobody gets fooled all with their eyes. But you're good enough to make up for that. We've got to be able to look at every one of those categories, and that's what we're looking at. Schematically, how can we make it even simpler for our guys so they don't ever have any doubt of where they're going? Coaching, how can we coach them so they're going to be able to do it even better and not just know it? And then personnel, who are going to be the best people at this certain point? Now, everybody has injuries. Everybody has guys out. We talked at the beginning of the year, if we could stay healthy, we could be okay. If we weren't going to be able to stay healthy and we had some injuries, it was going to be a long haul just because of how many underclassmen and young people and inexperienced people we have. That's part of it. And I said that even when we first got here, year one to this, year two, it might even get a little worse before it gets better. You know, we've lost one more game, or we've won one less game than we did last year at this point, and that's unacceptable. But I understand why we are where we are, and it's my job to fix it.
PJ, almost lost in this. You get so many people looking and criticizing the defense. Bateman has really – you were high on him when the signing date. You had great things to say about him. I think people are just really starting to get a preview of what that kid's capable of.
You know, everybody will always – you know, no matter what happens with me, you know, I'm an incredibly positive person, and I'm always going to see the positive in everything. And there's so much negativity right now just based on defense. And I get that and understand that for all multiple reasons. However, there's so much good going on. Everybody just wants to look at just the result right now, you know, and I get it. If this was year four or five, I understand that 100%. But we're doing something to be able to bring in and do something a lot of people aren't willing to do with playing eight freshmen on offense right now. And these guys have never played. And to do what they're doing is incredible to me. It's remarkable. And that's getting lost in the shuffle because we're not playing that well defensively. And you'd like everything to be able to mesh together. But it isn't right now. And sooner or later it will. And we will get everybody on track and get everybody offensively, defensively, special teams on track. But he's one of the most premier young receivers in the country. He is. And I know a lot of the credit goes to some other people around the country, but he's an unbelievable wide receiver. All his catches are coming from wide receiver type, routes and breakpoints, and he's getting balls and taking them deep. He's being able to catch deep balls. He's taking shorts and taking them longer. He's just to do that at such a young age in the Big Ten, where you are really a highlighted guy at such a young age, is a compliment to him, Coach Shiraka, offensive staff, Matt Simon, of really coaching him up. You know, Tyler Johnson, I told you at the beginning, Tyler Johnson's best friend needs to be Rashad Bateman, because as we continue to go and we continue to go through this, and get our quarterbacks familiar with our system and bring more quarterbacks in here and continue to develop in the system, I think it's going to be a really scary offense.
It was pretty easy to see Antoine Winfield when he stepped on the field was a playmaker. Do you have any people like that that are freshmen that are playmakers on defense that you know, they can make up for a bad play, they can be in their wrong gap and still find a way to make a play like he did against Fresno State kind of?
Well, we're doing everything we can to develop them. You know, it happens where a guy like him goes out and then you look behind and we didn't have a lot of depth to begin with in the secondary. And so a lot of these guys, whoever we're playing, are playing for some of the first times that they've ever played. So I think Jordan Howden will be a playmaker one day. I think Terrell Smith will be a playmaker one day. You know, it's very easy to see they can be. They're making a lot of young mistakes, but they've also shown, I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago we're talking about how Jordan Howden played one of his best games ever. I mean, he had seven tackles, was all over the field, and you saw it. And then, you know, the inconsistency is where when you start to talk about an immature and maybe youthful football team is immaturity, that's what knocks on the door. That's why this whole thing was a race to maturity. It wasn't a race to grow up. It was just a race to maturity. We had to be mature this year to have a lot of success with as young and inexperienced as we are. But again, you know, those guys on the back end, they've got to be able to make plays. We've got to be able to, you know, as we keep going, I think you can see that there's a little difference in speed, you know, with some people we have to what we have to be able to recruit, what we have to develop, what we have to develop inside our program with our strength and speed and conditioning program. So, you know, there's a lot of things. But again, I know it's going in the right direction. I can see it. I can feel it. And you can see everything that way right now. Again, though, everybody's focused on the defense, rightfully so. And I understand that.
Offensively, you're so young. No team in the country playing so many freshmen. Can you expect anything better?
Well, I think they're playing really well right now. I'd like to be able to see the takeaways or the turnovers become zero. But Muhammad Ibrahim went back, went down yesterday. And, you know, you're talking about your three starting backs are out. And, you know, now is another true freshman that's got to lead the way, you know. And so, you know, I'm seeing growth from everybody. You know, Curtis Dunlap Jr. was able to get a lot of reps yesterday, which was really good. Another true freshman that we have up front. But again, this is, I know everybody's frustrated for right now, but as we continue to go through the years, I think people will understand and see exactly what the plan is and the long-term plan is. But at times right now, it can be frustrating because there's this expectation and we're not meeting that expectation based on our experience that we're having day to day. And that can be frustrating for people. So we've got to, you know, we just got to continue to get better. We got a great practice lined up tonight and we've got to continue to grow this team.
But PJ, talking about the defense, you mentioned there's three things you look at. You look at players, you look at schemes, you look at coaching. And I went back to the players once and your announcements of this class, recruiting class, and remember the bios. Some of these kids who are playing offense also play two ways and played very well in high school. In the offseason, is one of the things you might look at is, do we have any guys on offense who might be able to help us on defense?
Well, you know, we don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. You know, I mean, one thing is I'm going to look at everything, you know, come the end of the year in terms of the personnel. Is there somebody we did that? My every coach does that. Everybody looks at their personnel and says, "All right, is there somebody that can help us at another position?" And instead of being the third or fourth, be the number one guy on that side. I'd probably say there's probably three or four candidates right now, just off the top of my head, that we'll be looking at. Incoming freshmen, as you get the 2019 class here, you can always look at that as well. As you go through a year, you know, this is our second time coaching this football team, and we know now, I think, where our true issues are and then where our true strengths are. And I think it takes a full 2 years to find out exactly where that is. I don't think that's just a one-year deal, especially when there's a lot of older guys that you're playing at certain positions a year prior. And then you've got to make decisions moving forward, especially with your first class when you first get here, because you don't know anybody on the team. You don't know what the strengths and weaknesses are. You just have to bring a class together. So I think we have a really good feel of what we're going to have to do, how we're going to have to switch positions, how we're going to have to manipulate and turn our 2019 class even a little bit. But for the most part, I feel like we've got guys plugged into where they need to be, and we'll make any changes from there accordingly.
Hey, talk about a Douglas guy. He's a pretty good story.
Say that again, sir. I apologize.
Douglas. You want to hear about Douglas.
Demetrius Douglas?
Demetrius Douglas. Yeah, you know, Demetrius is a young man that, you know, he's very talented. He can do a lot of things for us. He's doing a great job at the punt return, kick return. And, you know, he's very, very explosive. And, you know, he's doing a great job as a wide receiver. I think this year he's developed into becoming a stronger, more a dynamic playmaker for us. You know, and we'll continue to see different ways of how we can get him the football as well as we continue to move forward. But I feel really good. I think we got four really talented wide receivers right now. That can help us do a lot of different things. And as we continue to grow our quarterback, because college football is all about, it's all about, again, one person, when you start talking about offensive football, everything has to do around the quarterback. The more the quarterbacks can handle, the more they can show, the more everybody else can do. And I like the way our quarterbacks are developing, probably not as fast as what everybody else wants. But again, this process has been very well documented of exactly what's going to happen and how we're going to do it. But again, last night, yesterday's game, I'll keep reiterating, it's just unacceptable. And our team understands that, made that very clear that that was unacceptable. But I know that they're going to be biting at the bit to get back to work today.
Do you worry about that, that they don't see results, that it doesn't go well?
No, because that's not what our program necessarily talks about. You know, it's not that the result is just data and information. All it does is tell you exactly where you are right now. It doesn't tell you where you're going to be. It tells you exactly where you are right now. And one thing our program's designed to do is take the result, respond to it in a very passionate, very energetic, very positive way. And that's what I know our team will do.
PGA Fleck, thank you very much for appearing on the show. We wish you better things with the your team, and for appearing on the show. We'll get you a Murray certificate. Tim Murray loves it when you come in there. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, guys. Roosevelt, Sky, Mago, Gophers. Thanks.
All right, it's PJ Fleck. We'll be back with Lindsey Whalen right after this. Sports Huddle. Sid, David, Mike. All right, we are back. We are now talking to one of the few undefeated coaches in the country. Lindsey Whalen joins us right now. Lindsey, I'll ask the first two questions, but Sid is all over this. He'll dominate the conversation from that point on. How do you feel about that huge crowd that's going to greet you at the opener? And you had kind of a blow to your team when you lost to Godiva Hubbard.
Well, yeah, I think first and foremost, the crowd, I feel like that's going to be a great experience for our players. I'm really excited for our kids to be able to experience that. And I feel like we've been working hard this last month, and now this last week, it's time for us to really lock in on New Hampshire and fine-tune some of the things that we're trying to work on and get ready for the game. Losing Godiva Hubbard for a while, that definitely hurts. She was she played 35 minutes a game last year as a sophomore, and so we'll be, you know, everybody's got to step up. People need to do a little bit more, and we'll have her back at some point, but like I said, people are going to need to step up and come in and contribute right away, maybe possibly some freshmen right off the bat. So we're trying our best to make sure that they're ready for that challenge.
Lindsey, I remember when Brenda Freeze was here, and she had the women's basketball going crazy, big capacity crowds. I think you're going to get the same thing done.
Well, that's the goal. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we're working hard to accomplish, is to make sure that we have Williams Arena the way I remember it, which is as you said, sold out and in full capacity, because there's no advantage. There's no home court advantage like it in the country when our fans are behind us, and when we play the way that we need to play. I think that it's the best home court advantage in the country. And so I believe with the system that we're trying to run and the kids that we're trying to bring in here, that we're going to make that happen and have it be every time we take that floor, we have our fans behind us. It's going to be really hard to come into Williams Arena and beat us.
Let me ask you this. Boys basketball in the state of Minnesota is unbelievable. They're going to schools all over the country. Are the girls basketball? Sure.
Sid hasn't been following this, Lindsey. He doesn't know how fertile this area is right now.
Yeah, be careful how you answer this.
yeah. I'll just say we have some tremendous players in the state, and I want this to be where they all, where our whole everyone in the state who's working on their game and is talented wants to play. And so we've got the next probably, I don't know how many years, at least 4 or 5 years, there's a great group of young players coming up. And so we're going to recruit the state hard, and there's you know, I can't get into any specifics, but there's a lot of talent in the state, and so we're gonna do our best to make sure that those kids want to stay home.
What about recruiting? Have you got a good class coming in this year?
Well, I can speak to our freshmen, and so we've got three freshmen on the team right now, and Mercedes, Barbara and Delaney, and so we have three freshmen this year. I can't speak yet to the next class as signing day hasn't happened yet. But our freshmen this year are learning a lot, and they're trying to do their best, and so it should be it'll be, you know, they're freshmen, and so they'll learn a lot, and it'll be every game will be you know, probably a little bit of ups and downs and everything, but they're working hard. They're in the gym all the time, and you know, I think that our fans are really going to take to the freshmen that we have on the team.
Starting lineup?
Well, as of right now, nothing. You know, we'll still see how this week goes, but the way we've gone has been Jasmine Brunson, Kenesha Bell, Destiny Pitts, Taiye Bello and Annalise Lemke. That's what we've gone so far, but like I said, nothing's set in stone yet, so we'll have to see as the week goes and as we progress how we feel that's going to be best suited for us as we go into the season. But that's what we've been working as far as the first group as of right now.
What's been your biggest surprise of all the things over the last couple of months since the Lynx season ended to now? What surprised you about being a head coach in the Big Ten?
Well, I think just the day to day, Mike. You know, there's just different demands that you didn't have as a player, and there's a lot more responsibilities. And so, I guess just probably the practice planning, the video that you watch as a player, you go home and you're done for the day, and that's it. And it's Netflix time and just kind of hanging out and making sure you get a good meal, and then you're on to the next day. Whereas coaching, it truly is 24/7. And so I'm learning a lot every day, and thankfully we have a really great staff here, but it's been fun. It's been good challenges. And like I said, I'm learning something new every day and getting adjusted to this kind of routine and role that I'm in. And like I said, it's been fun. I couldn't have asked for anything more.
What do you think your team rates in the conference? Can you compete pretty good with them?
Well, we'll see. As of right now, if you look at our lineup, we lost Carly Wagner to graduation. Right now, Godiva Hubbard's out. And so, the seniors, centers that started for the team last year also graduated. So we're starting a senior center who's never started before. And so we're starting a junior that's also never started before. So we'll see. I know that, we're going to play tough, and we always want to be the toughest team on the court. We'll just have to see as we get into conference play what that looks like. And we'll just have to do what we can. And it's hard to say at this point as far as predictions, just because I haven't gone through a full season of the Big Ten. But, I know with Kenesha back and Destiny Pitts back, there's no question we have talented players. Now we just have to make sure that we're connecting as a unit, and then we're getting some really solid bench production. So Lindsay, as we go, we'll be able to feel it out more.
Lindsay Weldon, what a good move they made at the University of Minnesota when they hired you as a women's basketball coach. That is a fantastic move. And for being on this show, we'll get you a certificate. You and that great golfer of yours, friend of yours,
Ben,
can go to Murray's and have a great silver running essay.
Oh, good, good. I'm sure my dad Neil might try to.
Neil's taking it, and you know it.
We might have to. One of these weekends, if we have a Saturday night free or something, we have to take.
You'll be treating. We got to run, guys.
Snowblower's on the fritz again.
Okay.
All right, we'll do. We're out of time. Thanks, Lindsay. That's Lindsay Whalen. More after this. Sports Huddle. Said Dave Mike. All right, only about 20 seconds left here. Went a little long with Lindsay Whalen. Thank you for your very nice text messages, Coach Whalen. Somebody also asked about volleyball. Yeah, they won in 5 with Hugh McCutcheon. Good job last night against Michigan State. Glenn Mason will join us in about 11:05. Stick around. That should be interesting. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.